It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
27 years since the last Finals game in this building. I know our fan base is really excited, as they should be. But as a team, us inside the locker room, we have more work to do.
With Andy Dirk Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Time to nut up or shut up.
Happy Friday, football Friday, fast break Friday, fastball Friday, flop shot Friday, football Friday. I think we got them all. What are we missing? Missing anyone's in there? Did we get them all?
Fight night.
Fight night.
Freedom fight.
Freedom fighting Friday.
But on Sunday?
Forecheck Friday. I gotta forget Forecheck Friday.
Flag Day fighting Sunday on a Friday.
People are saying the UFC fight Sunday because it's his birthday.
Who's?
Happy birthday.
Oh, the Steezy's.
The first hairdo.
Did you see a bull? By the way, should have used it for a update. There was a bull that was not killed. In usual custom, I forgot the country, but they kill bulls for meat and whatnot. This one they spared. You know why? It literally has a weird comb-over style of hair on its face.
And they decided to save it for that reason.
And they said it looks just like Trump, so they're using it as like people
That's a smart
to come
move.
Check it out. It's kind of crazy how the hair looks just like his.
I just look Trump bull? Trump bull? Do I pull that up?
Yeah.
Trump bull?
Make sure you separate
Dude.
Those. See this?
That look, yes!
You know like when they find toast that looks like Jesus?
Yes! That's a Trump bull.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It was set to be executed. Like, actually, let's not...
Nah, man.
Let's not do this. Let's get people to come check this out.
This thing's gonna be our cash cow. How does a bull get a hairdo like that? That is wild.
They had to harden the thing.
Never seen that before. That's pretty crazy.
Have you seen, by the way, it's kind of insane looking at a UFC cage fight in front of the White House.
It's a little weird, yeah.
Yeah. Can we just be honest about this?
I have no problem being honest about it. It's ridiculous.
There's no way this goes well.
Absolutely.
I'm not Mr. Deep into the politics. I remember being and hearing it once upon a time.
This will solve all our needs.
People freaked out about a guy wearing a tan suit.
I don't care about your inflation.
Now we've got a UFC cage in front of the White House.
Got to pay $100 to fill up my truck tank this weekend, so that'll be fun. But I'm glad that we get a UFC fight at the White House. Things are going great.
Deal's almost done.
Yeah, we're going to get there. Don't you worry about it, Bob. Don't you worry about it.
Hang on! Hang on!
We will talk about the World Cup, which begins. By the way, cool scenes. I see like there's the whole area of Toronto because that's where they're playing today. Canada,
yes.
Right in Toronto,
BMO Stadium.
Yeah, like a massive like citywide parade down the middle of their streets. Everybody's marching to the stadium wearing their Canadian gear and flying their Canadian flags.
Yeah, you had Selma Hayek out there, part of the opening ceremonies with the Mexico game.
Who could
yesterday.
Be upset about that? None of us.
And
who's our honorary starter for Canada today? Is that what they called? Is there a phrase for that in soccer?
I have no idea.
Because I did see her there.
They have I guess ambassadors is, I don't know what the official term is.
Dude,
but
who would Canada go with?
That's a great question.
Who's the?
Ryan Reynolds.
Is Ryan Reynolds the favorite son of Canada? Going a hockey player doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not hockey. It's a different sport. You want a celebrity.
You want a celebrity.
And Ryan Reynolds is involved in soccer.
Yeah, it might. I mean,
yeah.
Who's the bigger? Is there a bigger soccer retired Toronto based guy?
Any big historically
Drake?
Oh, Drake could be your guy.
He's got 3 new albums out.
Wait, he came up with 3 albums at the same time?
Yeah, people think.
Well,
it's
he might be singing because then they did. There are all these official FIFA World Cup anthems all over the place, so he might have been employed to do one of those.
Mm.
Why is she wearing gloves?
I don't know.
It's kind of odd.
Did she touch the trophy?
Yeah, she handed it to Infantino.
Oh, yeah, she brought
Infantino.
The trophy out.
I thought she brought the trophy. I didn't know if that's like a thing. Yeah. Are you allowed
you
to touch the
touch
trophy?
It
you
got
to wear gloves?
Hands. He's grabbing it with his bare hands. He's the corrupt president.
He's the head. He's the president.
Yeah,
Steezy.
I'm watching him hold it up.
He can do what he wants. He's in charge. But any other random person, you can't put your fingertips on that trophy.
Yeah,
you know,
like
I did
cup.
See,
yeah,
look,
that's right.
I think when it's starting in different venues, I think the excitement is building. I think to your point earlier, like, we slow play this thing up. We get more and more into it, especially once the hockey and the basketball kind of settle. And it's like, all we have is this, a regular season baseball.
Yes.
But I did see you still have people popping up with problems. So I think in Seattle, they're dealing with the potential World Cup game at the same time as a Mariner home game.
Ooh. Oh, traffic.
And parking areas have been shut down. And it's going to be an utter disaster.
Oh, no. Is that during the USA game that's in Seattle? Or just one of the other games?
Look at the schedule.
Okay.
Because the Mariners are on the road right now. Or
yes.
They just at least were.
I think they're back, though, next week. I think the first World Cup game is Monday at noon in Seattle. So I wonder if the Mariners then have a 7 p.m. game that night.
Because they're playing the Nationals next in D.C. And then they come home. Yeah, it's next week.
Simultaneous games.
They have a home slate with Baltimore.
It's going to be a disaster.
So you're going to have simultaneous games while certain sections have to be shut down for security reasons.
Oh, no. It's not going to be fun.
Don't drive there.
No, do not drive there.
I'd almost rather drive the opposite way, even if I live there.
Yeah. Yes.
Take the train in.
It's anything that I could train my way in.
Just know
they haven't
improved
the light rail system there downtown in recent years.
The Sounder train. I've taken it before. It's fine.
People in Lawrence says it's going to be Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
Oh.
Is Keanu Reeves, is that known that he's Canadian? Am I an idiot for not knowing that?
Yeah.
That's pretty stupid.
Did you end up seeing the last Toy Story?
No.
So the new one's about to come out?
I have seen the trailer for the new ones everywhere.
There's a toy in there, and Keanu Reeves voices him, named Duke Kaboom.
Duke Kaboom.
He's basically
very Keanu Reeves.
He's a stunt double from the 70s, but he's obviously a toy on a motorcycle, and he's like very insecure about his inability to do big stunts. Anyways, he's Canadian.
Okay.
Duke Kaboom.
Duke Kaboom. Hey, Keanu Reeves, you can't top Keanu Reeves. If that's your go-to guy, you did nothing wrong there. We'll get to talk about that here in the final hour. Do we get on Monday, I love doing this during football season. What's our Monday headline after the weekend of football?
Yeah.
On Monday, are we talking about game 6 back at the Garden of the NBA Finals, or are we talking about a series that's over? It's a unique Friday where there's no game tonight. There is a game tomorrow, and we could have a Knicks NBA championship crown tomorrow for all we know.
Well, okay. I hate to ask you this before answering your question.
Yes, fire away.
Let me follow your question
with a question. I love a raised question.
Where would the Knicks winning the series in 5 rank
Shocking.
Of all-time impressive runs by a team in playoff history paired with all-time impressive championship, like just how the series
I'm going to give you...
If they win this in 5 in San Antonio.
With no historical context or research done whatsoever, top 5 most impressive title of my life. Maybe top 3. To be as dominant as they
What's
were.
What's number one?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about it yet, but I know it's top three.
I love he threw the take out there before even thinking about
it. I can't go with like the Warrior Kevin Durant team. Like, I'm not, I don't care. That's not impressive. Yeah. You cheated. It shouldn't have counted. LeBron coming back from 3-1 to beat the 73-win Cavs will always be the most impressive thing I've ever seen.
More than Dirk and the Mavs beating the Heatles?
The Mavs beating the Heatles.
Yeah, I think
Okay. J.J. Barrera.
That's probably number two. Probably number two.
Okay.
And then this would be number three. What other historical ones
for
am I forgetting?
For some people, the Pistons winning it was, you know, a thing we pointed to.
Lakers were going for a four-peat, though, and it's like, you know, I get that there was that.
In your lifetime, the Rockets won a title as a six seed.
They did.
You would have been a little young, I think, at that point to really comprehend
it. Was that the
it?
First one or the second one?
That was
second one.
Yeah, they only won because Jordan wasn't playing.
I mean, there's certainly that opinion.
I mean,
that's a real opinion that exists.
How many people going into this series had the Knicks in five?
That's what I'm saying.
Even the most diehard a Knick fan, I don't think, had the Knicks. The most psychotic bing bong New York Knicks guy out there did not have the Knicks winning this series in five.
Well,
games.
That's not true.
Who had?
There were some people out
after
there.
Game four does not count to say Knicks in five. That does not count.
Well, before game four, though.
Before game one, you were not
before
saying
game three,
Knicks in five.
We had the opinion after they won the first two in San Antonio. There was an opinion in New York that gained a lot of traction.
My bagel's Jewish. My Christian Dior. Knicks in five.
They thought they were going to sweep their way through.
Let me see. Let me pull up of my lifetime. So, OKC last year. Nah, get out of here. Dallas the year before. Boston the year before that. The last one that sticks out to me would be the 2016, obviously, finals.
I think your top two are correct.
Dallas, Heatles, number
two. Because
they
were also down 2-1 in that series. The Miami Heat won in Dallas in game three.
That's right. Take a 2-1 series lead.
And at that point, it was like a 74% chance the team who won game three wins the series.
Yeah, I think definitive take. I'll give you two now. Write it in Sharpie. Third most impressive title of my lifetime. I don't know if I could put it up. I can't put it above coming back from 3-1. And J.J. Barea and LeBron James will break my brain more than this will, if that makes sense. But nothing. I don't think anything else will come close to this. So to answer your question, top three of all time.
Yeah, I think when we come back on Monday, I think we've got a game six.
Mm. What is the line for game five?
I think it's Spurs -5.5.
So still, I mean, they're obviously back at home. Here.
That's what it was last I saw.
Yeah, ESPN says 5.5. Yeah. So you can get decent money line
value
there.
Would you take the Spurs to cover the points? Do we get a blowout? Do we get Knicks rolling over? We got lucky. We won. Let's go back home and wrap it up. Or do we get Knicks jugular? To hell with this, dude. Everything in. We couldn't have played worse, and we still came back and won by 20. You know, from 29 down.
Can the Knicks start a game?
Because if the Knicks come out early,
in Knicks mode,
if the Knicks come out early and they're fighting and they're, you know, they're up in the first quarter, that
even
Spurs team might be like,
it's,
oh, crap.
You know, a 2-point game in the first quarter, and then Wemby has to sit in the second, and then they can. I think the Knicks are going to take care of it.
You think it's over?
I do.
Because that arena and that team.
It's over.
If the Knicks are up at halftime, are going to feel very.
But based
upright.
On how the Knicks came out in their. Close out games earlier. Now, I don't think they're going to beat them by 35, but they were able to, when the opportunity arose, and they're still going to be, when they go back and watch the first half of that game four, they're just going to, like if I was Mike Brown, I'd just put that on a loop.
But how much of that is the Spurs doing as well? They've had that multiple times. I've seen multiple wins in the series where they've asked Brunson about the starts and what. Well, we got to watch the tape and make the changes. And then they don't.
They're not making any changes.
So, like, but how much of this is San Antonio's doing?
The other part of it, too, is something that you and I talked about after game three, and then certainly it rung true again in game four, and that is there do we have ticky-tack two fouls on somebody in the first 3 minutes of the game?
Who's officiating? Is it Foster? Is the extender
They
out
won't
there?
Announce it until the morning of the game.
It got to be Foster.
They don't want the narrative if it's Scott Foster of the extender. I think both championships...
I'd rather have Foster than Tony Brothers.
So game six would be Monday, right?
Yes.
No.
Tuesday.
You get the extra day.
Gotta have the
That's
extra
That's right,
because
it's a travel situation.
So it would be Saturday,
Saturday
Monday,
to Tuesday.
It would be Wednesday.
No, it's Tuesday. I'm literally Tuesday. Looking at it right now. It's Tuesday.
And then the next one would be
Friday.
Friday.
Game
Friday.
Seven would be Friday the 19th.
Yeah.
God, coming in Monday with both championships done.
It'd be pretty wild.
Tommy D's hoisting the Stanley Cup and the Knicks in five.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's weird. I feel like in my head I'm almost being too disrespectful of the Knicks. Of like, I don't think they're winning tomorrow, and they've certainly won already twice. They won both games of the series in San Antonio. I didn't pick them to win game two. I said I'd be shocked if they won game two after winning game one, and then they went out one game two, and now I'm kind of doing the same thing in my head of like, after everything we've gone through, San Antonio, backs against the wall, how we've seen them play in chunks of this series. Like, talk about Mike Brown putting on loop the tape of the first half. How about San Antonio putting on tape loop of the second half? And you get the wounded dog, last ditch effort. Like, San Antonio to me is not going to be a team that rolls over and dies and says, oh, golly gee, Willigers, 1-2-3 Cancun. Like, this isn't the Atlanta Hawks in round one. I fear, and I save this all for Monday because it'll age great. I do fear this is the one that gets out of hand to the way we saw in game four, and you don't have a 30-point comeback.
Well, I think, one, people can disagree with it and think swag's right that the Knicks wrap it up, right? I think I don't need to defend the opinion. I think a lot of people are going to bet the Spurs. I think the reason you should feel that way is a 29-point loss of a lead in a game.
Never seen it before in the finals.
It's not to take credit away from the team of just chipping away and making plays. It's also like that's an all-time collapse. Mm-hmm. It's not a 50-50 split of they won it and they blew it. No, when you get to a certain threshold of a blown lead, 15-point lead. Okay, now we can change some of that.
Yeah.
29, that's not a 50-50 split. That is vast majority is Spurs absolutely pissed down their leg. And the Knicks took advantage of the window, and you give them credit for that. But the Spurs being up 29 and losing that game is far more Spurs than it is Knicks in terms of how you sort that out.
Right.
So I don't blame you for saying, oh, a team that went almost 30 is going to win game five with their backs against the wall at home. That certainly would make sense.
It's a unique series in the way that, you know, sometimes you get to a 3-1 lead and it seems very one-sided, right? Like 3-1 is as one-sided as you could get outside of a sweep. Obvious statement. Thank you, Dirt. But it's a unique 3-1 lead in that, and I brought this up after game four, like you're not that far removed. You're not that many plays removed from this being a San Antonio sweep. It's just weird in that regard. And that's one of the reasons I said it yesterday. I think the series is going to go seven. I think San Antonio is going to win Saturday. I think they're going to come back. We've seen the Knicks have a little bit of a pucker at home and play nervous and tight.
Yeah.
And there's just like, we got nothing to lose. We're not supposed to win this game. We're on the road, and you get a big game, and then you're all of a sudden you find yourself in a game seven. I think that's where we're headed. I hope that's where we're headed because I think it'd be a great place to end the NBA Finals. I'm still rooting for New York to win the series like hell because I don't want San Antonio to get one yet. But it's a unique 3-1 series in that regard of how – I mean, San Antonio's got a double-digit lead in game one, blow it. Double-digit lead in game two, blow it. They pull away, you know, and survive game three on the road. And then to your point from game four, it's the most historic collapse we've ever seen in the NBA Finals. We've never seen anything like that, 29 points up and to blow the lead. They couldn't miss in the first half. They outplayed the Knicks in every shape and way. And there's an element of them, like, if they could just not do the dumb thing. And maybe they do the dumb thing. And maybe they got a 15-point lead in the third quarter, and you look up and Brunson gets hot in the fourth, and it's like, ha-ha, Dirt, they won the series in five games. It'd be wild to see it happen. I'm not there yet. I think San Antonio wins, and they win going away on Saturday night. And I'll take it a step further. I do think they win on Tuesday and win game six, and we get a game seven. I hope we do at least the one thing we can say about
Knicks,
this NBA Finals.
Spurs game seven would be crazy.
New York having this lead after that win and then finding themselves in a game seven would be a very uneasy place to be. You're a win away. You're right there. You were on the precipice. You got one more rung of the ladder you got to grab, and it's the hardest rung of the ladder to grab.
It is. It absolutely is. I think that's why you're going to see what you see from San Antonio Saturday. If that's a Knicks win, then yeah, we're going to talk about maybe the first, second, or third
most impressive title
yes. of our lifetimes.
Based
right?
on expectations coming in, odds, underdog, all of that.
Well, even if I stretched it, Swag was alive, so he could technically count the Blazers, who were down 2-0
yeah.
to Dr. J in the Sixers. So I guess
in their first ever playoff appearance.
And they're the youngest team still to date to yeah. ever win the championship. If we moved a little past that, if I started it in 1980 on up, what other ones would be in it?
It's hard to speak to all of them because I wasn't alive.
The Rockets getting to one in the 80s certainly would have been in the conversation
yeah, that
when they lost
the
it.
Apple cart.
Celtics beat the Rockets in 81.
That yep. Sixers 83 team had been on the doorstep, and that
really
was loaded with Hall of Famers.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I mean, what was the other shocking title of the 80s? Were there any others?
No, then no. the Pistons
got a couple, but they knocked
Celtics
on the door forever.
And then the Bulls came knocking, and they were knocking
dominated
on the door.
Bulls,
so,
Rockets. Yeah.
It's really, in all both our lifetimes, yeah, starting from 1980, it would be a top
the 70s
three
had
title
a lot more randoms. You had the Rick Barry Warriors. Early 70s was the Knicks, and...
And I think you can make a point that the Knicks were in contention knocking to our knocking on the door point. The Knicks
late
were certainly
70s,
this.
You had the Bullets and Sonics meeting back-to-back years.
The dominant win streak they had in the playoffs paired
13
with
in a row.
The largest plus-minus differential in playoff history paired with, they're now the underdogs in the finals. They're going to lose because the East sucks. Here's Wemby's arrived. A five-game series against that would be like, what?
This is not getting to the AFC title game and playing Jared Stidham.
No, certainly not.
A little bit different.
Certainly not.
A little bit different. I hope I'm wrong. I want the Knicks. Well, actually, I don't. I kind of simultaneously hope I'm wrong and not wrong. Because I want a lot. It would be thrilling to see this thing go. The basketball has been so fun. But also, I do want New York to win the championship. So I'm rooting for them to win.
I also think the Spurs are going to be back here next year.
And I do, too. And maybe the Knicks are. Maybe
so let them have their Orlando Magic Shaq season, please.
Right. So we'll see how it goes. Game 5 tomorrow night, Saturday. And then the Spurs are to survive. We'll get a Game 6 on Tuesday. Let's get to the other stuff going on this weekend. Are the other series done? What do we need to know about Team USA as they start the World Cup run tonight? Get to that stuff coming up next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, enough time in the show has passed that I feel we should probably bring up the rough allegations. Any care to comment about the use of performance-enhancing drugs by a team doctor from one of our fandoms? Who could it be?
Atlanta Braves are hot.
Who could it be?
I'm a little nervous right now. I know they've had a tough series against the White Sox. But
who was
it
that tested positive for the year for you? Was that for you guys?
Was that this year? That was Profar.
Profar?
Yeah.
Lifetime ban, right? Was that a banner? Or was that a...
Second time.
What's that, like full season? Is that where we're at now? 162?
Yeah, he's gone.
We'll see you later.
That's why we have a Yastrzemski out there.
How's Mike doing? Is Mike having a good year?
You know, he's
hitting 212?
Drawing a lot of walks, but yeah, hitting like 212, and he's not playing consistently.
That's my guy. Yeah. No, it is not your Atlanta Braves. Your Atlanta Braves have not been connected to a doping allegation.
Is it the Giants? Are the Giants roiding out again?
It has to be, right? Because Barry Bonds is history. Mm. Has to be my team,
you
right?
You would think the cream and the clear?
No, it is not my team.
Uh-oh. Whose baseball team is involved with steroids?
The ones who's not paying attention to the show.
Is it somebody betting on the Kalshi markets?
Very well could be somebody gambling on the idea of their team taking steroids. This came out yesterday. Conor McGregor, everybody should, your chin's going to drop to the floor. I know it's going to be shocking news. Remember when he shattered his leg live during a UFC fight? One of the grossest things anybody's ever seen. In the aftermath of him shattering his leg, he took some super powerful steroids.
No way.
What?
No way.
What?
Got to get stronger,
I
man.
Was just that surprised as well. I screamed. I could not believe it had sewn to the carpet. And the where this story gets interesting, it's not like a fighter took steroids, whatever. I'm sure that's a dime a dozen story, is the guy who recommended him take the steroids just so happens to be the team doctor for the L.A. Dodgers. And Major League Baseball. Oh, by the way, the Rams as well. Neither Major League Baseball or the NFL.
Please hammer the Rams. Please hammer the Rams.
Responded to comment, but they are, the Major League Baseball has at least announced they are going to sit this guy down for an investigation.
Yeah.
Neil, what's his name? Neil El Trache?
Is that a nickname or is that his name? It's what the. Is El Trache? Short for like. Needle butt?
Dude, I don't know. It's a capital E, lowercase L, capital A.
Okay.
T-T-R-A-C-H-E.
I assume it's a last name then.
Elatre?
All right.
I don't know.
Sure.
You guys popping the roids down
there? Not
going to
be a Dodger doctor anymore.
Yeah. Huh? Huh? What are you doing down there?
Boy, what would happen in the sport if Ohtani tested positive for performance enhancing? What would it mean? I'm serious. We tend to not care as much anymore, but like, what if an Ohtani name popped up?
I mean, it would be devastating for the sport.
Yes.
And I would laugh my ass off.
Oh, that's how you're able to pitch and be a great hitter,
that
huh?
That makes sense, huh? Came back so quickly from your injury, huh? Care to comment, Swag? On these allegations?
I bet you he didn't even know about this.
I didn't even see it.
You
sorry.
See it?
Yeah. Sorry, comment? I was.
Oh, I get it. It's okay.
I have a sneaking take, and
your team
it's not
may or
sneaking.
May not be on steroids right now.
I don't think he's following sports anymore.
Not watching sports
anymore?
I'm
on like a year and a half of being convinced it's on. He knows of it.
Well,
he's not following it really.
I'm starting to buy into your theory because here I come in today thinking World Cup starts. Let's let Swag go. And he tells you don't even know anything about the Team USA World Cup team.
Can you name? How many players can you name?
I had to pull up an article about the Team USA team.
You got Pulisic. You have Pepe.
Pepe what?
His last name is Pepe.
What's his first name?
He's not know. In the probable starting 11, according to the BBC. Is his last name Le Pew? Here is your probable starting 11. Freeze, Freeman, McKenzie, Ream, Robinson, Adams, Dest. That's a nice last name. McKenney, Berhalter, Pulisic, and Balogun. Did I say that name right?
Balogun. Sure.
One of those guys.
You don't even know Balogun?
He's talking to you.
He's talking to you.
You are the self-proclaimed soccer guy of the show.
Yes. He plays for AS Monaco. Isn't that a pretty big club?
Not that big.
Okay. Weston McKennie, he plays for Juventus.
Weston McKennie, I know
is
of.
It Juventus? Is that how you say it? Juventus?
Boy, this is and not he a good could be. Segment. This is a terrible soccer segment.
I was hoping to lean on our soccer
I just
guy.
Wish.
Sorry.
You are the Mr. Watch the Off the Beaten Path Sport.
I believe that we will win.
You always talk about us watching.
We will win.
And now here it is, and you can't name anything.
I need help. I need help.
We need help.
I'm going to the bullpen for a World Cup
I don't know
segment.
Anything about American soccer players.
No. Well, it starts tonight, ladies and gentlemen, so get your World Cup fever.
Well,
I will
started
be watching.
Last night.
Well,
Our games.
Our matches.
Yes, the U.S. run starts.
Don't come over the top with a correction on me when you know nothing about the World Cup
That's
roster.
A very fair
this
point.
This is supposed to be your strong suit. You're the soccer guy on the
Sorry.
Show.
I've been really checked out of things for the last 2 months.
We get Team USA playing tonight at 7:00 in SoFi Stadium. Part of it, I'm honestly, like, they should win tonight because I did after him saying he doesn't know what I was reading through some different, you know, predictions. And,
are they a big favorite? What's the odds tonight?
I mean,
they're only plus 110 right now.
That's not very high.
It's not very high.
Go win. Go win the game.
South Korea needed, like, extra.
The biggest thing that has played the United States over the years in the World Cup is their inability to finish in the final third. They play strong defense, they stay in games, and then they can't take advantage and create scoring opportunities and put it in the back of the
Well,
net.
Historically, but what's this team? What's the difference between this team?
How do we say our coach's name? Pochettino.
He's a former he's one of those
that's
guys that's coached
name.
Like all over Europe.
That was a big pickup for people.
Yeah.
I remember reading about that.
Is soccer unique that way where people who are not from the country coach other countries?
Happens
no,
in basketball.
Basketball.
Does it happen in basketball?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, especially like smaller countries.
Well, yeah.
Because there have been a lot of American coaches that have gone over and coached like smaller countries in Europe or Africa or wherever.
All right, makes sense. It'd be funny if we had a non-American basketball coach.
yeah.
Who would be our leading candidate? Who's the best non-American basketball coach? Tiago Splitter?
Tiago Splitter.
Yeah, probably.
Is he number one on the big board right now?
He's certainly in that. Is Fernandez him. At Brooklyn? Is
you
he?
Got the yeah. guy at Memphis.
Oh,
what's his name?
Starts with an I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Not going to remember? too bad they're going to be bad?
You're all over it this segment, dude. You're dominating the dojo right now.
Well, I mean, naming coaches that are not American is a little different than telling me what do I need to know about this team? You can tell me what the past American teams have done. What is going to be different about this team
in
this run?
There's concern in the back that Tim Ream is out there because he's like the oldest dude on the team and played in several World Cups. So there's concern that teams that are quite fast up front in the attack, he's vulnerable there.
Are we going to win our group?
I don't know that they're going to win the group. They should get out of the group. If they win the group...
Because the top two teams get out of the group, right?
I think the top three because they expanded the tournament this year.
Oh, God. What is this, March Madness? The top three get out of group?
You get more people involved in the world.
You have 48 teams in, and then you have the round of 32.
God, man. So, yeah. I mean, you need to make it. Well, it starts tonight. I am excited. I will be watching. 7 o'clock is my start time tonight?
Six
o'clock? Okay. Yeah.
Paraguay.
I believe that we will win. I'm going to bet on it. Why not? Give me Team USA. What's the money line there?
Plus 110 right now.
Plus 110.
To win.
All right, give me plus 110.
Let me go find it here for you.
What are we going to do with this tournament?
This.
He doesn't know anything.
You guys better start watching. Do I got to become a soccer guy? I'm going to watch it. I watched Mexico yesterday.
Why is it not me?
Plus 110.
I'm a Nottingham Forest Premier League.
Plus 220 on the draw, and Paraguay is plus 290 to win.
Okay, cool. All right, there you go.
Bet the draw.
We also get maybe a deciding game. What will the reaction be in Rip City? Rip City! If Tom Dundon skates out onto the ice and holds the Lord Stanley's Cup on Sunday night.
What's the opinion?
Yeah.
Cool?
Yeah.
What's the other opinion?
Yeah, what's cool and...
I saw one take. I can't remember where I saw this, but I saw...
It took him, what, 8-9 years? Since
somebody, don't want him to win because he might feel entitled of being cheap.
Oh. That's certainly a take.
Certainly a take.
Certainly an aggressive move right there.
It's like, don't carry that same concern, but okay, you do you, boo.
Yeah, I mean, I saw, so this stuff got kicked up a little bit in Carolina because this will be a little hockey inside baseball, but John Forslund, he was the guy that Dundon fired. He was their TV play-by-play guy. He's now the play-by-play guy for the Kraken. He does stuff for TNT. Mm-hmm. He's calling the games on radio.
Yes.
He's the radio.
You have heard him on 910, and you'll hear him Sunday night.
He's been back in Carolina calling the Stanley Cup final game. And so somebody sat down and did an interview with him of like, is it weird? They fired you 8 years ago and now you're back and you've known a lot of the people in the organization, blah, blah, blah. He didn't have any ill will towards him. He didn't say anything, but it kicked up a little bit of the stuff in the Carolina fan base of his cheapness and the sentiment of like, that was really the only move, kind of just from my skimming of some of the stuff. Of like Carolina Hurricane fans at the time were livid because Forslund was a fan favorite and he loved the triangle and the area and he repped it and he was their guy. And then Dundon came in and fired him. And then it was funny to kind of read along in the follow-up of that of like, yeah, that's the only mistake he ever made. But man, I love the new guys and they've really grown on me and the new guys are great. And this feeling of, and the reminder of the sentiment about him when he took over and where he's at now. Mm-hmm. It's a unique one. We've never really had, Paul, I guess, had the Super Bowl. I know Jody technically did last year, but I just view those things so differently because I don't think she had anything to do with anything. But Paul won, holding the Super Bowl trophy up in, 2012? When did they win their first one? 2012, 2013?
2013.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, that didn't really do a lot for my fandom. So maybe this is just because it's new and it's been so negative of like, oh,
this doesn't
cool
do anything for my fandom.
No, I guess not.
It's just something I think for me as a sports fan to view it, it's not going to be Tom Dundon hoisting the Stanley Cup or being seen next to it, and I'm going to suddenly get jacked as a Blazer fan. All I would say is the same thing I've been saying the whole time. You can certainly point at the laundry list of differences between hockey and basketball.
There's a lot of them.
Literally nobody's argued the differences.
No,
but to act like it doesn't matter that somebody is good at operating a franchise in pro sports and then turns it into a championship winner,
right?
That's where you lose me.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. The same people that poo-poo it because, it's a different sport would absolutely use it as argument for why he sucks If the franchise sucked.
Yeah, if Carolina was in last place, it would be used as an argument that he's a bad
owner. So we got the cheap guy who doesn't even know how to win. Like, we got Sarver. And they're already calling him Sarver and Clay Bennett, except his other pro team
is winning.
Is really good and maybe on the doorstep of hoisting the trophy. So it doesn't do anything for my fandom. Mm. I'd like to see a guy accomplish something who's now running the thing that we root for. And if he can bring even half of what he brought to Carolina, that would put us in better seed than non-playoffs or seven seed.
I'll sign up for that. Carolina has not lost back-to-back games since January 13th. That was the last time it happened to him. It is June 12th, soon to be June 13th. And so Vegas is going to have to do something that has not happened to Carolina in 6 months. The only other thought on the Stanley Cup final I have other than the Dundon angle is Vegas needs to bench Carter Hart. If they want to have a chance, put Aiden Hill in net. If they don't do that, we'll see how Carter Hart cannot stop a puck to save his life right now. Will they make the move? I don't know. But game six of that series will be on Sunday, and we have a chance for a Championship Monday show.
One of our P1s says they scrolled Facebook and saw a resident near SoFi offering 2 to 3 cars to park in the driveway for the USA game.
Smart move.
Price to be within 10 minutes of the stadium.
Walking 10 minutes.
$250 each. Would you pay $250 if you only had one car?
I mean, at this point, I'm already so far down the money hole. Yeah, you split it four ways.
To walk 10 minutes?
I'm already that far in the money hole, yeah, probably.
Yeah, if you
like, what's my next option after that? Like, am I going 15 minutes for $175?
Right.
Like, what's the mile per dollar breakdown of the length I have to get away from the stadium?
I don't know. That's a good question.
But I think I would definitely pay that. Mm. I already probably paid $20,000 just to get into the building today. We'll close up with that. Some final thoughts on the sports weekend ahead. And wrap it up on a Friday next, 105.1 FM The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go, fist bumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. We got P1 Harley. I think he's going to be our soccer insider the rest of the World Cup.
Oh, we need it, dude.
So Weston's our best player.
Okay.
Thank you for that information. Also, our issues are defense and goalkeeping.
Okay.
So we got to be good defensively. Back end's got to be strong.
Yeah.
Got to keep the puck out of the net. Wait, wrong sport. My apologies.
Yeah.
You get my gist.
Did you see the video, since this is becoming a show of, like, was this real or fake on the internet?
Is it AI slop or not?
It looked like there was a video of somebody. I don't know where Scotland is staying.
Scotland!
But there was, like, soccer fans at an Airbnb.
I did see this video. I believe it is real.
They were coming out. They were hanging their Scottish flags.
Yeah,
and they came out playing the bagpipes early in the morning.
It's so cool, dude. If anybody that you could have, like, give me some bagpipes early in the morning. I'm down for that.
Like, if we had Scotland in Portland, and fans flew here and randomly stayed
in my neighborhood,
right across the street from you.
I have a guy across the street who does the, like, share a house, leave a house thing. Like, he goes and stays in other people's houses, and people come stay in his house. It's very unique.
Wait a minute. Can you explain this to me?
It's basically like a house swapping program. And you find people. Yeah, it's insane.
What?
You find people in places around the country or world that are interested in visiting Portland.
So it's almost like a timeshare community where they're just
basically,
sharing each other's houses?
We'd love to go check out Brooklyn. Well, we'd love to come to Portland. Let's swap houses for a week. And you go live in their house, and you drive their cars, and you take care of their animals. They come to your house
Wait,
and live
leave
in...
the animals for other people? They don't take their animals with
Animals are there. If you're flying, you're not taking your dog everywhere.
Wow.
It's crazy. It blows my mind.
I've heard of, like, I almost did in college. I almost went to St. John's for a term and had to look into a program of people in St. John's that wanted to come to Oregon State because you could swap.
Right. Yeah, I got an apartment for
I didn't
year.
Know
you
people did that with houses. It blew, like, I know about Airbnb and, you know, you're vacationing, but, like, actual communication between...
When I moved in, I was like, this guy's just got a big family. He's always got random people over at the house. And he was like, well, no. No, actually,
that's cool.
If you ever see people coming and going, they're staying at our house for a week.
What would you do if a flag dropped of a country and they started playing their musical instrument?
I'd be all about it.
That'd be very interesting.
It'd help me get into the World Cup a little bit. Can I throw a crazy fact at you that I had no idea?
Yeah.
Did you know that we did not play in a single World Cup from 1950 to 1990?
Like, we didn't make it. We were good enough to make it
for 40 years.
Yeah, now it was limited fields back then.
They expanded the field in 1982.
Yeah.
But we're America, so what do you...
We're America. We didn't make a... Because I was just looking at, like, when was the last time we made it to the quarterfinal stage and what year was it? And, you know, the best result we've ever had was our first World Cup ever, which is in the 1930-something.
Got to the semis, I believe.
Yeah, we finished in third place in that one. And I was just scrolling through, and it's like, well, 1950 eliminated in the group stage. Next appearance, 1990?
Yep.
They missed 9 straight World Cups, even as the field expanded from 16 teams to 24 teams. We failed to win any qualifier games in 1958 and gave up 21 goals. Yeah. Dear God, we were terrible.
I would say, you know, like, largely most of my, more than half of my life, I've just been told what soccer is going to be and, you know, football and youth football is dying, man. Parents aren't going to let their kids tackle anymore. And I'm like,
soccer's
okay,
gonna take over.
Soccer's going to, and I know this is a conversation sports radio tends to have, but seriously, like, why aren't we better? Why aren't we good yet? When are we going to go into this as a top five
favorite
to win?
Yeah, have the good odds. Like, we have good enough athletes.
Favorite.
We seem like we have a good enough infrastructure of youth soccer in this country.
What's the disconnect between us playing at a certain age and then, like, stopping or transitioning into other sports?
Well, it's unique, too, because I feel like now what used to not be the case was, like, we would get guys from the MLS to be on our team, and that was always like, no, that's our best player. He's an MLS guy. No offense to that, but it's just not the best soccer league in the world. And now I feel like all of our best players, when I'm reading through the roster, it's like, this guy plays for Chelsea. This guy plays for Juventus. Like, they're all playing high-level European soccer
overseas.
Well,
the women can do it. Why can't the men?
Well, I'm just saying that, like, our talent level has risen to that, and we're still not even a top five favorite. Like, we've clearly gotten better, and we're still on the outside looking in. The one thing I do know, and this is true of any sport, and maybe we're in such a different place politically now. Mm-hmm. Like, we saw it when the Team USA won, and then you had the director of the FBI down there, which caused a little kerfuffle. But it was a nice moment of unity, at least in a brief moment, and then it kind of led to this interest in following hockey a little bit more. And the Stanley Cup final ratings have been good. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you put Team USA in the middle of the summer, and the NBA's done, and all you got is Major League Baseball, and they're in the quarterfinals or the Sweet 16 of this thing. It will be a massive story, and the numbers will be huge.
I agree with
that. I'm rooting like hell for that to happen, just to give us something to be interested in the tournament. Because my biggest fear in the tournament is that Team USA loses, and then it's like, all right, wake me up when the final happens. How many of the last...
There's certainly that feeling.
Right. Like, there's a bit of an NCAA tournament vibe to it of, like, how many of the last handful of World Cup champions can we all name? Like, how many in a row back can you go? Because I can't even go one.
Well, Messi won the last one.
Did he win the last one?
Yeah.
Okay. Who won before Messi?
I believe it was Spain.
España. Okay.
They might have won two in a row.
The only finale that I remember and I will never forget is the Zidane headbutt.
Mm. Zidane.
Yeah.
I think, though, like, since 1999, hearing as much about soccer as I have as a sports fan, I just, what is, I know, I have people in my life, their kids are in these youth academies. They're in programs. So, like, what's the disconnect for the men to not be close to this thing, whereas the women have outright won it multiple times in my life?
They have. The challenge level is steeper, I guess. More people, you know, more men obviously play soccer worldwide than do
but
women.
But sports in this country has exploded in a way that
should.
Just makes no financial sense.
No.
So what is
club soccer is everywhere. Somebody said this is definitely our most skilled team in terms of players, but we cannot seem to put it together as a team.
So is it a coaching? Is it an infrastructure with USA?
We need a Ted Lasso. We don't have our Ted Lasso.
Definitely part of it. Mm.
how.
And then,
I just don't get how.
Yeah, I don't understand how.
How
in 1994, that argument, that makes sense of like, okay, we're just kind of figuring this out.
Because you barely got back into it.
Yeah, now it's like, dude, we've been around the block. We've been in every cup. I want to say other than 2018, we've made every cup since 1990. So it's like we've been a competitive team getting there. It just doesn't seem like there's ever been that jump or that next step. And maybe this is the year. I'm excited to see it get underway tonight. I will be watching and betting on Team USA. It'll be a fun little sports weekend, man. By the way, the guys talk about the World Cup. They got a live show coming up.
Yeah, they're all set to go. Goal PDX.
They're going to have a big watch party today. Big screen setup. Sounds like an awesome place. So go stop by. Say what's up to the firm, Harrison Meringue. They got a live show, On Location show, coming up next. And then we'll see, man. Be a fun weekend. We got the NBA Finals potentially wrapping up. Stanley Cup Final potentially wrapping up. And the USA side of the World Cup all getting underway. Oh, and the College World Series begins. Underrated little sports weekend we got. Who can forget the RBC Canadian Open, too? Be glued to it.
I knew you'd try to squeeze that in there.
That'll do it for us, folks. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. The firm of Harrison Meringue is next, live on location on 105.1 FM The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.